Tabacalera presenta. Arquitectura de oídas.
Michael Bull es uno de los fundadores de la aún joven disciplina académica de los estudios sonoros en el contexto europeo. Los libros en los que hace ahora 10 años trabajó como editor, dedicados a la escucha en el contexto cultural más que en el musical, han servido como referencia ineludible para toda una generación de investigadores que desde la historiografía, la crítica cultural, incluso el arte, muestra un creciente interés en las relaciones entre el sonido y sus distintos aspectos sociales y políticos. Aunque en la actualidad su campo de estudio se orienta más hacia los estudios de lo multisensorial, sus investigaciones en sonidos móviles han sido definitorios a la hora de entender el urbanismo contemporáneo, las arquitecturas públicas y los llamados no lugares. Bull señala aquellos espacios sonoros que habitamos tanto en coches como en otros tipos de transporte público, que tras la irrupción en los años 80 de los dispositivos sonoros portátiles, se han convertido en espacios íntimos cada vez más relevantes en la vida metropolitana. Su caso de estudio más conocido hasta la fecha se centra en el Walkman y el iPod como dispositivos capaces de generar una subjetividad audiovisual de los espacios urbanos. Una personalización o privatización desde lo sensorial de lo que antes pertenecía a una percepción colectiva de la ciudad. En esta entrevista, Bull analiza algunas de las formas en que esta percepción alterada, aumentada o disminuida nos permite relacionarnos con el urbanismo.
I'm Michael Bull. I'm a reader in media at the University of Sussex, and I've been working on technologies that allow people to personalize environments for a long time. I started off by accident by researching Walkmans in 1993, and Walkmans were invented in 1979, and no one had discussed the sonic dimension of using Walkmans in cities. After that, it developed more into the digital world with iPods, and I've looked at how people use automobiles as well in terms of creating soundscapes, etc. So that's been one area. But it's not my only area. I'm also interested in multi-sensory experience in urban culture as well. But in fact, I suppose I've written more about sound. They're not totally divorced, the boombox and the Walkman, no? Because they both involve the recolonization of space, no? One person does it more privately, and the other person does it more publicly. But the aim, actually, is quite similar, which is to sonically construct your space. And in the middle between what was then the Walkman and the boombox was the car stereo system or CD player, where people would move through the city, sometimes with the windows up, but sometimes with the windows down. And the windows down was very much like the boombox, but moving through the city. Yeah? I think in some ways that they are all different aspects of reappropriating the urban environment through sound. Slightly different, because one is more about display as well, but it's still, in effect, you know, you inhabit that sonic space, but you're forcing other people to inhabit it as well. It's a kind of form of imperialism, whereas a Walkman is less imperialistic, but in fact, you know, quite powerful. People complained a lot about Walkmans. Yeah, because especially if you were in an enclosed space like a railway carriage, the sound that seeped from the headphones was that tinny sound which people heard. So they couldn't even hear the whole song, they could just hear a part of it. So the awareness of other people's noise is variable, but in certain spaces becomes quite acute, even if it's not that much. Well, a low noise that you do not choose can be equally as annoying as a loud noise that passes you by. Yeah? I'm always quite interested how theories of architecture or cultural theories around architecture tend to prioritize the buildings and the spaces in relationship to our attitude towards them. With the shopping mall, you know, where the attempt would be through music to humanize it and personalize it, whereas in fact it appears to be the same as any other space, more or less. Yeah. So this Auger's notion of non-spaces seem to be determinate. Yeah. So they constructed my response to it, but in fact I think that's wrong. Whoever moves through spaces constructs meanings. And it doesn't matter what the architects thought. Actually, it's more important. So if you look at these spaces, kids in the corner of shopping malls, meeting one another, smoking, doing whatever they're doing, are constructing meaning in those spaces, just as, you know, shoppers will construct maybe different meaning. But a whole host of audiovisual media have changed what it is to move through cities. Some more what I call Fordist, where the sound is given to you. Lots of 1930s studies of early radio, where people would listen to radio with the windows open, and you could walk along the street and hear the whole program from different people's houses. So that's still kind of quite Fordist, because everybody's doing the same. As against, I don't know, iPods, where you individualize the city. And that's a very powerful form of individualizing because of the nature of your headphones. But the predisposition to do that existed before. His interesting theory about what he calls the Protestantization of urban space, where people fall silent. And it's not quite the same for all cities. Barcelona is different from London, for example. But the idea where it becomes natural not to speak. And so the sonic for me has been a refamiliarizing, maybe through by not speaking, but creating a different sonic landscape, which then makes the city friendlier for the user. Yeah, because I've, you know, if in many cases cities are not social places. You know, they're full of people moving from A to B. They're not antisocial, but they're concerned with where they're going. And so, to some extent, some of the technologies allow people to rehumanize the city in their own way. And that's a mediated way through the technology. We are living to some extent in a 21st century Weberian world. The Protestant ethic has been translated into cybernetics, where into this monitoring of ourselves all the time, and then measuring ourselves all the time. You know, the whole thing is a kind of a narcissistic narrative of self for its own sake, or because in the micromanagement of economies and money, then we parallel that with the micromanagement of ourselves. You cancel noise with noise, but it's not just about cancelling noise, you're constructing noise. But it's the idea that, in fact, whatever the soundscape is, you can construct a different one. And that's empowering, by definition. Whereas before, you'd have to be deaf to do it. And then that was disempowering as well. So the idea of not closing the ears, but reorientating the ears, seems to be potentially liberatory. Yes.
Tabacalera.eu